So I'm super excited to be sharing this morning, and I'm super excited to be here. We've been on 3 weeks of holidays, which turned into isolation, which turned into we're back. So we're super excited to be here. It's our first day of freedom, and we're just so excited to just be in the house of God, and so blessed the fact that we can actually be here together. Hey, like, let's not ever take that for granted, that we get to gather together, that we get to worship together freely. So I'm just super excited to be here this morning. And Pastor Az has been kicking off this year with an awesome series called Fresh Air. And in the first week, if you haven't listened to those messages, you can listen back to them through our podcast, get onto Podomatic, Spotify, whatever streaming service they're available to you. And if you're listening today, you can head back to those past weeks. But the very first week, Pastor Az spoke about reading your Bible. This series is designed to get us as a church to come back to basics and really set us up with foundational tools to set us up for our best year yet. So I'm excited about this series. It's been an incredible series so far. And the first week was all speaking about picking up your Bible. Actually, that there's no one set way to read your Bible, that we all have different techniques and there's different ways that we can do it. But it truly does just start with picking up your Bible, and giving it a go. And last week, Pastor Az spoke about prayer. Taking prayer in your prayer life, how that can change your life, how it can transform your life. It's actually as simple as having a conversation with God, having a conversation to actually opening up the transformative power of prayer into our lives and to see what it can do for our lives. Which leads us to this week, and I'm excited about this week. I'm a little nervous, and you'll find out why, but we're all in this together, church, because this week, we as a church are actually heading into a seven-day period of prayer and fasting. So today, we're going to go really, really practical, if that's okay with you, church. We're going to go really practical into fasting. All right, we're going to look at what fasting is, what does the Bible say about fasting, why should we fast, and what do I do with it, basically. So it's going to be really practical. It's my hope that each one of us here leaves a bit more equipped, a bit more knowledgeable on what biblical fasting is, and we also leave encouraged and excited to step into this week as a church and step into a week of prayer and fasting. So are you ready, church? Are we excited? Come on, you got to be a bit more rowdy for me today. Hey, look, I'm excited. Now, today's message is a bit of a collaboration with Pastor Az, just with the whole situation of them currently being in isolation. But I believe that it shares their vision, Pastor Az and Pastor Beck's vision for what this week could be for this church. And I'm excited because they have such an incredible vision of vision and direction for this church, and this week coming is going to be a really transformative week if you allow it to be. If you actually step in, if you press into God this week and actually allow yourself to be transformed by this spiritual discipline. So the first time I ever heard of the term fasting was in a movie, which a lot of us know we learn heaps from movies. I don't know who says otherwise. I learn a lot from movies. So I was really young and I heard this term fasting in a movie. And ironically, the movie's name was Chocolate, which if you know what fasting is, I just think that's kind of funny and hilarious. But basically the story goes, it's a story set in a small town in France by the seaside, and a chocolate store opens up in this little town. But the funny thing is that in preparation, everyone's super excited about this chocolate store opening up. They're putting signs up for it. And the week that the chocolate store opens is the week of prayer and fasting. I hear a couple of giggles, but that's actually really funny. But you've heard this term fasting. That's the first time I heard of the term fasting. But this term has been turned into a lot of health kick challenges. I don't know if you ever heard of different fasts and different challenges to help kickstart your health, but I want to look at today what really is fasting, and I mean the biblical term fasting. What is it? Why should we do it? What's the benefit of it? So we're going to look really simple, really practical. Simply, fasting is a period of time where one abstains from food or drink in order to seek after God. Simply, that's it. It's a week of spiritual discipline, a week where I believe God is going to speak so clearly to each one of us this week if we allow Him to, when we choose to take a step of faith and we actually fast. Prayer and fasting is a surefire way to supercharge your spiritual life if your focus is on God and not what you're depriving yourself of. It's a way to supercharge your spiritual life. Now, I'm not here pretending to be the master of fasting. I am definitely not. I have gone through my struggles. But I'm here as a part of this church saying that I'm excited to step out in faith this week, to give fasting a go, to actually step out in this spiritual discipline and to seek God this week for myself. And so it's my encouragement that we as a church would be united in that and that we would actually step out in our own lives and to step in out in faith to fast and seek God this week. So I'm not pretending that I know it all. I'm not pretending that I'm the master of it all. I'm not pretending that I do it all the time. I'm just saying that I know the power that it has. I know what it can do in our spiritual lives. Pastor Az asked me what my experience was with prayer and fasting when we were speaking in collaboration about this message. And my response was this: well, I wish I did it more. I wish I did it more. And I was reflecting on that response and I thought, well, I wish I did it more because through my experiences, I know how impactful it is for my spiritual life. I wish I did it more because I know that every time I've stepped out at the start of the year and fasted, it's been a powerful week in my spiritual life. I wish I did it more because I myself have had experiences where God has moved in my life when I've taken a step of faith and fasted that week. I wish I did it more. So why? Why should we do it? Why should we participate? Why should you give up your favorite foods? Why should you actually participate in prayer and fasting and give up things that we actually want that satisfy us? Well, simply this: when you deny your physical self food and drink and seek God in those times of wanting what you can't have, it does one of three things. The first one it does, or the first thing that it can do, is that it brings about clarity into your walk with God. Number one, it brings clarity. At the start of every year, we as a church do this fast. And Josiah and I seek after, in this week of prayer and fasting, Josiah and I like to seek after vision for our year from God. And we do that through asking for a word from God or a scripture from God. And I know that Pastor Az has mentioned that in the past, that you can ask and seek for something specifically from God, a vision and direction. Because I've experienced this in my own life, that in that week after we seek and we pray and we ask God for direction, some of the most life-changing decisions in my life have happened after I've seeked after God for a fast. At the start of the year, when you intentionally ask God for direction, I've had job changes, I've had career changes, I've had changes to where I'm currently living, I've had direction in which ministry to pursue. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had a moment in your life where you're like, I have no idea where I'm going? I have. I can tell you as a young adult, I have that a lot. I have no idea where I'm going. Maybe 2021 for you was really messy and you don't even know where you're stepping into in 2022. Maybe you think, oh man, it's January and I have absolutely no clue where I'm going. I have no goals. I have no direction. Can I encourage you, church, step out this week in prayer and fasting and seek after God and ask Him for direction and see how your spiritual person starts to become in tune with what God is saying and the direction that God has for your life. I've always left the week of prayer and fasting with a clearer direction, but also a fueled excitement for the year to come. So why fast? Because it brings clarity. Number two, the second thing that fasting can do is it unlocks things in the spiritual realm. It unlocks things. This is highlighted time and time again in Scripture, and there's one specific account where Jesus uses the example of prayer and fasting and unlocking something in the spiritual realm. It's found in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, and basically what's happened is the disciples have attempted to pray for a young boy who's being terrorized by an unclean spirit. But they weren't successful in being able to cast out this demon. And so Jesus has to intervene. And Jesus comes in and he says this to the spirit in verse 25. He says, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After these words, he releases the boy from his possession, and Jesus actually delivers and heals this young boy. And later on, the disciples go to Jesus in a private place and they say, "Jesus, why is it that when we prayed, nothing happened, but when you prayed, you were able to deliver him?" And Jesus said this in verse 29. He said, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." By prayer and fasting. I think about what Jesus is trying to teach here, and there are some things that can be done in the spiritual without fasting. Don't get me wrong, absolutely. But Jesus indicates for spiritual battles to be won, some need prayer and fasting. Fasting allows us to empty ourselves and to see God move more clearly in our lives. Less of me, more of you. We rely on God in those moments because it's none of ourselves, it's all of God. Which leads us to our third point, why to fast. Number three, because it's an opportunity to rely on God. It's an opportunity to rely on God. Fasting is an act that puts you in a position to rely on God for your sustenance. We've heard Jesus refer to himself as the bread of life. Well, fasting actually allows us to consume that bread by seeking him in times of physical hunger. Fasting teaches us to trust God at the deepest level, and trust builds relationship and your reliance on God. If you enter a fast with the idea that it's all about you and it's all about your ability and your willpower and your discipline, then can I tell you one thing? There's no point because you're just starving yourself. In reality, if you go in to a fast thinking that it's all about you, and you just gotta give it up, and your willpower is gonna get you through, and I'm a disciplined person, I can go without this, then all you're doing is just starving yourself and having a really miserable week. Fasting needs to be partnered with prayer and scripture. Because when we partner it with prayer and scripture, we're actually relying on God, not ourselves. We're relying on God to get us through those moments where it's tough. We're relying on God to get us through those moments and to seek after him when we're struggling with temptation. You have to partner it with prayer and with scripture, because it's not a diet. It's not a challenge. So if that's what your mindset has been this week, let's lay that down. It's not a diet. It's not a challenge. It's a time to intentionally seek after God. This week, when you enter into a fast with the idea that you want to hear from God, it's about pursuing God and being filled by him and getting the answers that you're seeking. The things start to change completely when we're intentional, when it's all about God. During fasting in my own life, I've seen vision and direction every year after this fast. But I've also seen financial provision come out of nowhere, because my reliance is completely on God, completely on God. I have never felt so near to God than when I'm actually relying on him physically and spiritually, because there's nothing in between. There's nothing getting in the way. I have to rely on God for everything. There's often a connection of fasting with times of desperate need for God to move. And if you're in a place where you can't see how God can intervene into your situation, maybe you've been struggling with something for a long time and you just cannot seem to see that thing move or the situation shift, or you can't understand how God could come into that, can I suggest stepping out in faith this week and stepping into a week of prayer and fasting? Throughout scriptures, there are 74 mentions of fasting, and many different characters in the Bible, we can see their example of prayer and fasting. Just a couple, David fasted and mourned after the death of his child. Elijah fasted 40 days after fleeing Jezebel. Ahab fasted and humbled himself before God. And there's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Nehemiah. And this story outlines what happens when we turn to God through prayer and fasting in a time of need. If you want to flick to Nehemiah in the Old Testament, now you can to follow along. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. But to set the scene of this story, basically, it's a time in history where the Persian king has allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, back to their land. And Nehemiah, the main character, was serving as cupbearer to the king at the time. He soon learns that Jerusalem has actually been destroyed and left in ruins. This is where we pick up Nehemiah 1:3-4. This is Nehemiah talking. And they said to me, the survivors who left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. After Nehemiah's time in prayer and fasting, he actually approaches the king and requests to leave and to go back to Jerusalem to build back its walls, to which the king agrees. And so it's actually after Nehemiah's time in prayer and fasting that God gives him direction for his life, that God tells him to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. This year, if you're in a place of desperation, can I encourage you, do what Nehemiah did. Take time to pray and to fast. Because after his time in prayer and fasting, afterwards, is when Nehemiah got his breakthrough and direction from God. He finds his clarity. So why do we fast? Fasting brings about clarity. It unlocks things in the spiritual realm and it gives us an opportunity to rely on God. Even Jesus, before embarking on his mission here on earth, he spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting. And I'll read about it in Matthew 4. It says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I thought that would get a chuckle, but it didn't. He was hungry. Church, you will be hungry. That's okay. Jesus was hungry too. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So cool. I love that Jesus always has a comeback. At Elevation Redlands this year, we want you to set out into this year with a clear vision of where God is taking you. Over this week, while you're fasting, spend time reading the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Ask God to make it clear to you a word, a direction, maybe a scripture to be able to hold on to this year. Write it down and have it somewhere where you can see it every day and be encouraged by it. Seek after that direction from God. So we've gone through the why should we fast? But actually, what do we practically do? What do we practically do? What does fasting actually look like for us? I said we were going to get real practical, and we totally are. So here we are. There are different fasts that you can take on this week. Please remember to be wise when choosing what type of fast you're doing, or if you're in the middle of a fast, please be aware of yourself. Let's be wise in your medical conditions and health conditions. Let's be wise in the decisions that we make this week. But there are different types of fasting. And the first type is simply this: no food or drink, just water. And this is the type of fast that Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. And I also just want to encourage you, if you've never fasted before, it's okay to take it bit by bit. I'd recommend doing a 24-hour period, then seeing a 48-hour period down to a 72-hour period. Take it bit by bit. And I also want to encourage you that if you fall off the bandwagon, it's okay. It is okay. Just get back on. Remember that this is not a diet. It is not a challenge. It is a time to intentionally seek after God. So take the pressure off. It's not a challenge that you have to tick all the boxes to. It's intentionally seeking after God, denying yourself something physical, and seeking after God for that week. The second type of fast is called the Daniel fast, and it's something that a lot of the members of this church choose to partake in, and it comes from the book of Daniel, and it's really cool because you can actually read where the fast comes from and the story behind it. And basically, it's an incredible story of Daniel and his friends who decide to exclude themselves from eating the royal food, so the rich food, and they only eat fruit and vegetables for actually 21 days. So the Daniel fast is simply eating no processed foods, just eating fruit and vegetables. But the incredible thing is that these people who partake in this fast, actually after that 21 period of time, come out looking stronger and healthier because of fasting. And if that is not an encouragement to know that God will provide for you and look after you, not only spiritually, but physically as well, let that be an encouragement to you. You can see this story in Daniel 10. It says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." It was after this time that Daniel actually got his breakthrough from God. You can read that story, and I encourage you, if you're going to partake in fasting this week, that's a great story to go through, the book of Daniel. Be encouraged by that. That Daniel actually received a breakthrough after that prayer and fasting. Now, I do want to touch on a couple things. I'm going to share this. In my notes, they're called non-fasts, but I'm going to share them because it's become kind of a trend that people will start what's called a social media fast, if you've heard of that, or they do a screen time fast, or basically they put away technology and spend more time with God. And can I just say, what a great thing to do. What a great thing to be disciplined in. And I don't want to discourage you from doing that at all, but I want to be really clear that is not the type of fast that we're talking about this week. And I say that because these things are amazing things to be disciplined in. And if you do take time off social media and you do take time to be disciplined in these areas, they will grow your spiritual life and you'll be able to be intentional with your time, which is amazing. But I also don't want to rob you of the opportunity to actually step into what it is to be fully in fast. To actually give up something physical that you physically need and need to rely on God for that. There is something powerful about bringing your flesh man into a place of discipline and tapping into your spiritual man. There's something powerful about that. So those things are great to be disciplined in, but they're not what we're talking about today when we're talking about a biblical fast. Is that okay, church? It's awesome. Jesus called his disciples out for being weak in the flesh. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken away to be tried and crucified. We're going to read about it in Matthew 26. It says this: "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell asleep. He fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Get this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed for the third time, saying the same thing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Going into this week, just know that if you've never fasted before, how desperately you will start wanting things that you've never craved before. How desperately you'll want that stale piece of toast now stuck in the corner. You'll start thinking about things that you never thought you actually wanted, but now they're a real temptation to you. It's because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But church, can I encourage you? It's in those moments that's when you press into God. It's in those moments of temptation that you lean into God, that you trust that He will provide for you, that you rely on Him that He'll come through for you, that you seek hard after Him because He knows, you know that He will show you the way. When we grow a spiritual discipline of fasting, both our spirit man will be strengthened as well as our physical man. Both will be strengthened. As a church, the vision for this year have been the words of Jesus, "Follow me." I love that. Follow me. If fasting was something that Jesus did, and it strengthened him to a place where he was equipped and ready to go on mission and ministry for his work here on earth, let's allow this week, this coming week, to strengthen us in our spiritual walk. It's a great opportunity to deprive ourselves of our fleshly desires, of our physical desires, in exchange for what God wants to show us this week. I want to end with this encouragement. It's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. I'll leave you with this. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm so excited because I truly believe that this week is going to supercharge this church into the direction, into the vision of this year. That it is going to charge us up as a church, but also individually. Come on, church, let's pray. God, I thank you for this week as we head into a week of prayer and fasting, as we give up our physical desires to be able to seek after you, God. I pray that this church would just see visions from you, God, that those seeking after you would have clear direction as to where they're going. God, direction in their jobs, direction in careers, direction in the housing market, direction in universities, direction in life, direction in families, God. And Lord, I pray for your provision, that you are our provider, God, And that this week, in moments of temptation, in moments of hardship, that we would press into you, God, that we would seek after you, God. I thank you that you would fill us up, more of you, less of us, God. God, that there would be financial provision, that there would be breakthrough, that something would break in the spiritual realm this week as we choose to step out in faith into a week of prayer and fasting, that there are walls broken down, that there are things broken in the atmosphere, God, that you are on the move. So God, we thank you for this week. We're so expectant for what you're going to do, God. We're excited to hear the testimonies. God, would you show us vision for what you have for us this year, God? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.